Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I'm Jared Fried. Kay, welcome home. Welcome back. The Bachelor Podcast community brings you in with a hug. How was your trip? Give us the 411 we all watched on social media as we do. You know, it was a 2 week long Kay's weekend.
It was a long time, but I'm happy to be back, and I do appreciate the messages of people being like, glad you're coming back on the pod. That was really nice. But yeah, it was the hardest part about coming back was watching 8 hours of Bachelor in Paradise in one sitting.
That's the thing. We love the show. We love reality shows. But when it becomes a homework assignment, you're like, oy, 8 hours. I mean,
8 hours.
So for your trip, before we get into the show, you had 2 weeks in. Tell us where you went and tell us the places you went, because people, you know, link to your
link. I'm having TikToks about them, places you need to stay, you know, right. The whole thing. So I went to Bali.
Love
for
it.
2 weeks. I spent 5 days in Seminyak, 4 days in Uluwatu, and 4 days in Ubud. Mm-hmm. And it was, I mean,
of the places, the best?
I think Uluwatu is the best. It has like the best beaches, like the best kind of like chill beach vibe, but with things to do and like slightly more like developed. I liked Uluwatu, definitely the best. Lots of cafes, lots of smoothie bowls.
Love it. I mean, did you meet anybody? Any love in Bali?
No, because it was at the very beginning of off. We couldn't even make friends.
Really? I went to the south of France. I experienced this abroad myself. I famously went up to three women and said, hi, where are you guys from? And they looked at me and said, in perfect English, they said, we don't speak English. And I was like, okay, I'll swim back to the other side of the pool. Let me wade away. So I understand that feeling of like, I'm on vacation, going to meet people, going to get outside of my, and then you go, no, just going to hang with my friend. That I
feel
with.
Like though in Europe, it's probably much harder. Just because everybody, it's more elevated here in like Ubud or Southeast Asia, a lot of like backpackers or people who are staying for a long time. That's kind of more of like a community vibe. But I think Europe would be harder.
Well, listen, I spoke to myself for 2 weeks. I get it. So
but we didn't make friends because it was the beginning of right at the beginning of like off season, rainy season. So it did rain quite a bit.
Okay.
But like you're in like the jungle, it doesn't really matter because we got a lot of sun too, but it rains more than it does in LA.
Well, listen, it's good to know for people who are planning trips. If you're planning over, you know, the same time that Kay went, this is what you can expect. But what did you think overall, the 8 episodes that you watched? What is your feeling on Bachelor in Paradise? You are more of a expert on this show than I am. What was your overall feeling of the show so far this season?
I think the morale is just so low. I can't get the women, especially these past two episodes, the hysterics is just,
well, like, that's the thing.
Too much.
The thing, and I think what's at play here is the confidence. You can separate the confident ones from the not confident ones very easily, and it shows on camera. Like, I think that's like the big, and especially with what happened, you know, we had this, you know, this is getting ahead a little bit, but you know, the main topic of today is the split that we're going to send the women to the hotel. The men are going to stay on the beach. And the way people handle that, like, says a lot about you, you know, you can't really, you know, everyone's like, well, that's the producers. No, you can't argue this tape.
No, I think a lot of it is just, feels like no one wants to be there, really. I mean, but then overall.
I think the men want to be there. A lot of the men seem like they're having a blast.
Men, of course.
They're having like pool parties. They're splashing each other. Let's get into the episode. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we finally get another rose ceremony, and the odds are not in the guy's favor.
Jesse announces the new split format and happily welcomes new contestants to the beach.
Relationships are tested, dates are had, and cocks are blocked.
Lace takes advantage of the apparent open door policy and heads back to the beach to see Rodney. So what did you call these episodes, this week's run of episodes?
I called it the off-brand Love Island.
Right. I'm on the same page. I called it Bachelor in Love Island.
They couldn't come up with anything else. I mean, I love that they did this, and I think that they had to shake things up on Bachelor in Paradise to set it to raise the stakes a bit more. But this is the exact playbook of Love Island.
I love it. As someone who doesn't watch Love Island, I don't understand this. I hear what you're saying. Like, let's get creative. I think it shows that this show something we've talked about on this podcast for the last few seasons of Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise is the creative bankruptcy that seems to exist for this show, that they don't really take any chances. I don't care. I'm just happy they did something. Like, I don't care. Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. So whoever came up with Love Island, pat yourself on the back. Good for you, but good. I'm happy they're doing it with the people we know. And honestly, we know these people now. So Bachelor's at an advantage. The Bachelor franchise is an advantage. Take everyone's ideas. If I'm them, put them behind curtains and do blind, you know, Love is Blind. Take all the show's formats because, and this is going back to Road Rules, Real World Challenge.
Yes.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
We loved Road Rules, Real World Challenge because we knew we got a little chance to meet them. And then we get to see them in this new survivor type world. And it's like for Bachelor in Paradise, we know these people. We enjoyed them in a certain other way. Like there were some people that came that they brought in to be the, you know, the new crop of women, the new crop of men that I was like, I didn't know who they walked in the first episode. They were all glowed up. And then the second episode, I was like, I had moments. I don't know if you had this where I was like, oh, it's you.
Yes.
Right. I had that with like Tony, the guy who looks like he smokes cigarettes in under a rain cloud. What's his name? Is that his name, Tony?
No, it's
who's the guy who's in Michelle's season? Rick. Rick the Ick. Rick walked on. I because I saw the men and I went, oh, okay, these are the new men. And then I go, and then the second episode on Tuesday, I go, oh my God, that's Rick who smokes cigarettes under a rain cloud.
Because you see him sitting in the pool, like, just like sad, like Eeyore.
Rick. I forgot. And we talked about, and for those that don't know, we used to talk about Rick all the time on this podcast. Rick always looked like he just got rained on and his makeup was smeared and he's got like, you know, kind of dark circles under his eyes a little bit. He's always a little bit sad looking. And then you saw all the women like not liking Rick and I go, oh, I didn't like
now
Rick.
I know.
Right? Alex,
I did have
the military
moments.
Guy. I didn't even realize he was there.
That is okay. So that's not Alex who we're thinking of.
Oh.
You're thinking of Alex from JoJo's season. This
yes.
Alex was
versus
from
Chad.
Was yes. This Alex was from Rachel Lindsay's season.
No memory. I mean, they look a lot alike.
He's been I
dark
think he
complexion.
Has been on, they do look exactly alike.
Right.
He's been on Paradise before, but is kind of he's not memorable at all.
Right.
I had so many questions like. Especially when they brought the two Australian people from each side. I'm like, was there no one else?
I love the Australian. Well, it did feel like the Australians were brought to come in there and be sexual. I don't know why I had that assumption.
It was like the accent
and also like the way they spoke, even in the small moments, both Australians, male and female, both of them were like, I'm here to touch a genital. You know, like it was like very like they came in like there was something about them like it was almost like they had, their vibe lacked fear of audience, you know, anger. Like,
because nobody knows them, because they're like, right. Everybody will be hypnotized. They're like, first of all, I don't know these people. Second of all, I love their accents. Third, right. They're hot. Like,
right.
They were strictly brought in to be like the ones that tempted everyone else, but no one is being tempted. And I'm like, so annoyed by that.
So, okay. So we get to, let's get into the episode. First we have the cocktail party. We have Shanae, wearing Logan's bracelet on her ankle. James set up a shrimp taste test to try and there's this Shanae. Will she pick, Logan or James? And that's kind of, that's what's going on there. What did you think of that?
I thought she should have picked James. I don't know. I mean, I think I understand why she picked Logan. Like, she's had a longer running history with him, but he didn't really step up until James came in.
Here's the thing. This outs Shanae. Sometimes Shanae is outed as someone who plays games with people she dates, because James never had a chance. I don't think he really, just seemed like, because she goes, jump this high. James jumps way above it. Logan goes, here's a break.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Bracelet that you wore on your ankle and kind of does as best as he can. And she goes, well, he did something, so good, pass the test. It did feel like that.
I remember her saying, after they had their little pool bracelet type date, she goes, in her like in the moment interview, she said, you know, Logan has really stepped up. Like, you can clearly see that he cares. I'm like, he is doing the bare
right
minimum.
And I think Logan only has capacity to do so much, but yes, it did. But it was, that's why it felt like it was like, just do something. Like, I need to dangle this guy to make you do something so that I can feel okay giving you the rose. Mm-hmm. And at that point you go, this is toxic. this is not,
right.
This isn't someone who has taste. They just need someone to, I need the smallest bit of symbol from you that says you like me so that I can feel like I made the right decision. We had Casey who tells Brittany. So then we had the Brittany Peter drama.
Oh yeah. Casey, what did you think about that? That was a lot of drama.
It was drama. She confronts Peter because he's saying she's a clout chaser. Jill comes over telling Peter to just leave because he's not getting a rose. Then the argument breaks out. Casey passes out, fainted because of the drama that he created.
Is that what happened? Because I all of a sudden, like, he's on the ground, and did he have like a seizure?
I think he, alcohol, heat, no water. And yeah. I follow Casey on Instagram. I like Casey. I think
he's
been
funny.
He's been a great addition to the show. I was sorry to see him leave. He was like the narrator of this season. He fell over. So I knew before the show aired, he was getting all these surgeries. And I was like, it must have happened on, and I think he actually really hurt his ankle. I can ask him. But it seems as though he like broke his ankle. Like, I don't think it was like,
oh shit.
Like, I think that was a legit ankle injury because I remember seeing on his social media that he was like going in for my last surgery. Like, I think something. So he passes out because, and I do think, and here's the thing. Brittany comes back, has no idea that Peter's out. Peter is a monster, by the way. Ew. Peter's a monster.
I was really hopeful. I saw him walk up to the beach. I'm like, okay, you know what? Redemption story. We hated him on last season. I was like, let's see the Peter. Even when Brittany and Peter first started chatting, I was like, cute.
Okay.
I was like, this could work.
Everyone deserves redemption, but then he got worse. How do you go on? That's the thing. How do you watch yourself on TV? And I guess that's delusion. You watch yourself and you go, well, they edited me bad. I guess that's the only thing. And then he goes on and he does from the playbook and he starts doing this spreading rumors about Brittany, where Brittany has a history of people spreading rumors about her. And I didn't see, there was someone that was like, why would Casey even tell her? And it's like, I guess I have biases in favor of Casey, but I didn't take exception with Casey being like, hey, I just want you to know, like, this guy's talking shit. I guess because
I would have said the same thing. I would have done the same thing.
Right. This guy not only did you, is he saying the date went badly, which you would agree with, but he's also saying that you're here for the wrong reasons. And he's saying that you're somehow, you know, not here
chaser.
To like find a cloud chaser. And I would be like, I need to report this story to you. I'm not trying to like, I don't, it didn't. Some people took that as Casey starting drama. I didn't. And I think Casey, to me, I think he didn't even see it. I think he's thinking the same way as us. And then someone goes to him, wow, Casey. Like someone on that beach, I think, says to him, wow, how could you do that to the woman who had this issue before? And now Casey's going, I think Casey, to me, the reason he passed out was now in his head, he's going, oh my God, I'm the guy messing with the woman who had the very serious story about being accused of being, you know, of being a sex worker on another. And now I'm in that serious story group. And now I'm going to now this is going to get edited. I'm going to look like I am
an asshole.
In the group of the awful, awful, not just Peter awful. Peter is cartoonish awful. Mm-hmm. I am now in Greg
the
Grippo.
Drama starters.
Right,
Greg
drama starter,
Grippo.
But I'm in Greg Grippo, you know, gaslighting, you know, term bad guy thing. And that is the thing. There's cartoon bad guy on this show, and then there's like, we need to have a problematic talk bad guy on this show. And I think he was like, oh my God, I didn't even see it that way. Now I'm seeing it's being reported to me that I am now, the stir of drama, and now, holy shit, tequila, heat, pass out. I think that's what happened.
I think you're totally right. I think you're right because
it's a theory.
Because again, I agree with you. I don't think he thought of it as anything other than like, hey, you're my friend. This guy was talking shit about that was
right.
It wasn't supposed to be this huge thing. He was just like letting her know. Because also Peter just was the way he was saying it, it was just so gross. And the stuff he was saying.
He wouldn't look at Jill because he made some comment to Jill. I don't know. I don't have a quote, but just the idea that he wouldn't like even acknowledge Jill. Ooh, Jill, like it is annoying to like to be told. And it does become like nobody leaves the island because they're being told. People generally don't leave somewhere because they're told to leave. They want to feel like they left on their own, which is what Peter did. It was a mess. And then it was funny. The dudes try to come up like the Avengers, you know, like, you know, Jacob
Rodney's
Thor.
Rodney's at like the front. He's like,
bro,
the least intimidating of them all.
Right. They bro him to death and they get him out of there. And
then he leaves and yells the buongiorno, bitches.
Right.
When you exit like that, the level of like cringe that I get watching somebody leave like that, like people on reality shows and they get sent home and they have like some awkward exit that they're like yelling or they're
right.
I hate.
Well, it makes me want to interview the woman who dates him next. I just want to talk to that woman. I want to talk to the woman who's next on Peter's, like, who goes out with Peter, Googles him, and goes, I'll go on the date. Like,
that's the one.
Who's that? I want to know that person. It's not Peter. Peter is cartoon, Roger Klotz. He is nothing to me. I don't care about Peter.
Yes.
I want to meet the human being because we have this information now. You can watch him go, buongiorno, bitches. Because guys don't do things that they think will cock block themselves.
You would think.
You would think. Well, listen, we are so egomaniacal and out of our minds that every man you see made every decision he made because he thought it would get him late. So laugh at that. It is a, but own that as fact. Okay. Just own it. Life is easier if you look at things through that prism. Okay. I'm not saying
honestly,
it's right.
That's the only way I'm going to look at anything
right,
from now
right.
on.
Those cargo shorts, he thought he'd get them late.
Smash.
Women dress for other women. Men dress for their penis. Okay. And
that,
if you look at life that way, listen, I might be wrong sometimes. I'm just saying. Married, you go, well, what about married men? Yeah, they do everything they do so their wife will blow them. You know, so don't get it twisted. I'm just saying, life is a little bit simpler that way. Peter did everything he did on this show because he thought it would be best for him and his penis after the show. I need to meet the woman who goes on a date with him. I need, because she is encouraging this Roger Klotz cartoon.
She's enabling him.
Enabling. Not to blame the victim, but I'm just saying.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, so let's go. Peter and Casey both go before the rose ceremony. Danielle comes down from Nick Vial season. I have no memory of Danielle. She came down. They brought her down. What did you? They brought her down under a light, as if it was as if angel fluttered down from the heavens. The way they presented her, and she's like, and the sound bites. And again, I'm not someone who's the producer, the whatever. You can take whatever sound bites you want. The sound bites they took from her were like, everyone here is beautiful. Everyone here. Oh my God. Everyone's gorgeous. Look at you. Oh my God.
I know.
It was as if Mother Teresa flew down from heaven and so what did
floated.
You think? Floated down. Hello, angels. Everyone here is beautiful and wonderful. I can't believe it. And immediately, her and Michael A.
hit it off, and
we find out that Danielle has the backstory similar to Michael A., but not the same. Her fiance passed away. We find out it's a drug overdose, and they had connected before but never met. And they connected before because, and Danielle even says this, because we are two people with similar backstories in Bachelor Nation, which totally understand how that would happen. What did you think, Kay?
I don't know. I get why they brought her on because we saw the whole exit of Sierra with Michael. And I was kind of just at that point when Michael sent Sierra home because it looked like they were doing so well. I was just annoyed with Michael. I'm like, then go home. Like, you're clearly not ready. He's like, I want somebody who can relate. Like, that's really hard to find somebody in Bachelor Nation that has that experience.
It's a very specific backstory.
Very.
Right.
You know, and so I'm like, this isn't the space, clearly. And so when they brought her down a mere one episode later.
Well, it's like a little too convenient. Right.
Yeah. And I remember Danielle from Nick Viall's season. She's been, you know, she's a nurse, very like good girl. Right, I mean, it's honestly a perfect fit. But hearing Michael say at one point, he said he was like, I don't think I can be with anyone who hasn't had anyone who isn't hurt or broken. One of those like types of words. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. Well,
I was like, that's how you don't think you could be with anyone that hasn't gone through that.
So I have a lot. I mean, I think everyone has a lot of empathy. We all have a lot of empathy for what Michael A.
of course
dealt with or has dealt with in his backstory. I have empathy for him in the dating sense. And I do understand what he's saying. It almost lets him off the hook for having told someone with grief about his grief. Because it seemed as though, from my perspective, that he felt really badly. And he says this a couple times where he felt badly that, like, he's hurting others to get himself better, which that is kind of dating, you know, if you think about it. Like, dating is, I'm trying to get myself to the best possible partner for me. And that happens through going through the racks of people that may not fit me. So, but when you have a backstory and you have a grief story and you have a tragedy in your life, people let you off the hook all the time. When it's just, you know, when it's you or I dating someone and going, hey, I've enjoyed time with you, but you're just not the match for me. We look worse than Michael A. because they go, well, why? And you go, I don't know, just not the match for me. And then he has kind of the built-in break in case of emergency. This, we've gotten too far along because I've revealed information to you that I have to reveal, which is something I understand from his point of view. You go, how is he supposed to meet a woman and go, let me hold on to this very personal stuff until date three? He can't.
Yeah, you kind of have to, you have to dump it at the beginning.
He doesn't have the skills or the ability, which I don't blame him for.
Yeah.
Yet for how do I bring someone into my life with also by and dating them regularly while also telling them things that are probably date four information, you know, on date one. So that's what happened with Sierra. And this is the most empathetic way to look at, because there's people on the internet that I've heard from that are like, they were like, and it always shocks me, but I shouldn't be shocked. They're like, I hate Michael A. And they don't like what he did. And I'm like, I don't know how you, I can see how he's, and I agreed with you. Okay. I said this on the episode. Yeah. I go, when Sierra left and you're, and I said this before you nailed it, because I go, hey, if you're literally looking at us going, I'm hurting other people because I keep, and then I said, Michael, I should leave because what does he expect to come down that stairway? Mm-hmm. And then the exact person that needs to walk down the stairway does. And you go, he had to have information.
Yeah. There's no way he would have stayed because he didn't even feel the lack of remorse he felt when Sierra left.
Right.
Was like really off-putting to me. He was like, I didn't know she left. Like, I didn't know she was going to leave. And then he was like, anyway, like she, like this girl, he had this conversation with her. She took it so gracefully. I'm actually really impressed with Sierra, like how she she handled. I mean, 10 out of 10 response. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to give him the space, was clearly upset. Her exiting made so much sense. Thank God she left.
He made Sierra look like a woman he was talking to at the airport while his wife was landing because he was picking up his wife. Like, he made it, you know what I mean? Like, it made it feel like Sierra was like just some nice woman he talked to. And he's like, oh, my wife's here, you know, like, and I just got to let you go because she's going to be landing in 10 minutes. I got to get my car out of the cell phone lot.
Right. But as if he's never, like, as if he just spoke to her then, but didn't actually have the past like 2 weeks of them like canoodling and like they were solid.
Right. So that, and then you go, well, Michael, you, and then she leaves and then you go, Michael, why aren't you leaving? And then Danielle shows up and you go,
yes.
And you go, okay. And these are the points in the, and this is back to Jared and Ashley I showing up. You go, I'm stupid for watching this, but don't make me feel stupid for watching this. Because if you're going to have Danielle show up and you're telling Michael A, have it happen on episode one. Or here's the other thing. The minute Michael A and Danielle go on a date, it felt like there were two different shows happening side by side. It felt like it was the Michael A Tragedy Bachelor, which I've said this on my Instagram. Just do that show. Do Tragedy Bachelor. Do This Is Us of Bachelor. Michael A be the Bachelor and 30 women with tragic tales. Every week, he'll meet a new woman with a tragic tale. We'll cry and we'll see whose grief he matches with most. Like, have that version of The Bachelor. Yeah. And then, like, because that's what it felt like. They go on their date. The date is sweet. The date is wonderful. It's whatever. But, like, they're on a different show than everyone else. There's
a completely different show. She doesn't even go, doesn't even leave the island when the other girls have to. And one other thing is that it seems like everything about them is almost so perfectly matched up, like their age. Like, she's 37, he's 38.
Age appropriate.
They both have traumatic things. Like,
right. It's so convenient that you go, I feel a little stupid. I don't like when people talk about the producers when we talk about this show. I get why people do. This is one of those moments you go, that's why it's like, this isn't the show for them. This was, and now it feels like we have the, you know, Tragedy Bachelor on one side, and we have, you know, Fuckboy Island on the other side. And it's like, okay, why are they even here still? Like, I want to watch their journey in a different way than I'm watching everyone else's journey. So we go to the rose ceremony, and here are the couples that happen at the rose ceremony. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, or that we're going so deep on the Michael A thing, because I don't know if you agree with this, Kay, but the first episode Monday felt like two things happened.
Yeah.
It was Michael A getting together with Danielle and the split.
Yes.
To me, those are the two things that happen. Everything else, I go, whatever. You know, like
the first episode was really tough this week. And I was excited because I thought it was going to be more about the split. It was just like the beginning of the split. And I was like, all right, get me to Tuesday so I can see what happens with all of this stuff.
So we have the rose ceremony. It's Serene and Brandon, who seem solid.
Oh my God.
It's Jill and Jacob, who we're going to get to. Lace and Rodney, we're going to get to. Genevieve and Aaron, more solid than maybe we thought at the beginning of the split.
Yeah, agreed.
Shanae and Logan, we're going to get to. Victoria and Johnny, I think, We're probably not going to get to them as much in this because they didn't really touch on them a lot.
Yeah, not a lot.
But I got to say, Victoria is like my favorite person on the whole beach.
Oh, I'm obsessed with her.
I didn't think I would be. I think I started at a negative because of the way she presented herself. Nobody thought I'd be. Can you believe I'm here? Yeah, we can believe it, Victoria.
Even from Peter's season, just like she... It was all very like icky with Victoria. We're like, oh, she's the whole, that's when all this like gaslighting stuff started, I think, was with her and Peter.
Catch me up on that because I forgot about that.
It was basically like the reason her and Peter were having like a conversation and she'd be telling him, he would say something to her about like, you're acting this way, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, which she would flip it on him. And be like, you're mad at me because, and then all of a sudden it was Peter's fault. It was a lot.
Okay.
Just like icky drama with her. But this is like, I mean, I think she is the most sane person on that beach.
I totally agree. She is. She's
the fun, only sane person.
Fun, funny, and hot. I gotta say,
yeah.
I definitely full, you know, we have a full Victoria recommendation here from the Bachelor podcast.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 so far. Brittany and Andrew, which was like new, but like
unexpected.
Felt like they were unexpected, getting along. I get it. Danielle and Michael, who legit. Okay, so then we come back and Jesse says, we're splitting up the beach. The women are going to go to the hotel. The men are going to stay on the beach. And then they bring the women out. And the women are, it is funny. Like, I, listen.
you like sit up in your, Jared literally just sat up in his chair, readjusted for
this. Readjust for this because I will speak. It is so funny because you'll talk to a woman, you'll be like, oh my God, I love your, you know, it is so funny the way men have deal with looks and the way women have to feel good to like, to accept maybe even a compliment. Like if you look at a woman and you go, I love if a man's like, I love yoga pants. And then she's like, well, I work out in these. Ugh. You know, like it's like,
oh yeah, immediately. I can't take a compliment if you paid me.
Right. This is kind of one of those moments where the women who are already on the beach, their beachy wavy hair, they're settled in. Even Victoria says it. She's like, Johnny asked me today that I said I look different today. It's like, yeah, my makeup is off from when I came down to the beach. And I'm sure when Johnny says that, he's not saying, you look different today. Ugh, get out of my way, pig. Like, he's not saying it that way. He's just going, he doesn't think about it. He's an idiot. Yeah. So these new, but when you see the women walk in, like their makeup done for a wedding.
Yes.
And then the other women are just sitting there plopped on the couch, just like,
sweating,
oh my God.
For 2 weeks. Like, right. Just.
I laughed immediately. I was like, oh my God. There's no worse. You could see just the vibe was totally changed. These five women walk in, wedding glam squad ready.
The guys even say it. They're like, they all smelled really good. They had that fresh, straight from like the AC.
Like, and they're trying to say it in the least creepy way. You could tell, like they were trying to say it in a way that was respectful, but like all of it just sounded like animals drooling. And it just shows how like, you know, You Up podcast, we talk about like, we get down the weeds of like the mental whatever and it just shows how stupid we are. Like, we as men, just like the idea, he's like, these women smell good. They look good. Like, they're fresh. You know, like,
yes.
It was so gross, but also at the same time, like, I was like, I can't believe how much I connect with these men right now.
I get it.
Do you know what I mean?
I get it.
And the women were like, it just played to every bad stereotype and all of our, like our senses, you know what I mean?
And as somebody who just spent the past 2 weeks like fully sweating with like no AC, the way I felt when I got home and like took a shower,
right?
Like a real shower,
like a good your home shower, your home shampoo, your home
and,
soaps.
Like, dried my hair because my hair had been dry in 2 weeks either. Like I was like, oh my God, this feels so good. So watching that episode, I was like, I know exactly. Like I can smell them myself.
right.
I know exactly what that feels like and what that means.
So I can understand where in this moment, the women freak out in a way that toddler-like is a good description, I think, from my perspective.
Yeah.
And you can understand why this is all heightened because you have the fresh Febreze smelling women, five new women come in and you have like, you know, get out of here, you wet dogs, you know, like
literally like their deodorant has stopped complying with their body. Like,
and the men are like, don't know how to react. Like even
they
I think
can't
Lace,
look at them.
Right. Lace is like, he didn't even kiss me goodbye. I think about Rodney. And then you're like, yeah, if I was sitting there, I'd be like, all right, see ya. Let's see what the new ones got. Like, right. And then Genevieve. And so they bring them out and like Genevieve and Jill handle this the worst. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, the way, especially, I mean, Genevieve and Jill for sure, but Jill.
And here's what is crazy to me. Jill reacts like a toddler who's running away from home. You know, the toddler like, I'm packing.
Bye.
I'm leaving. Bye. I got all my stuff. And if I were one of the producers, I wish I was a producer on the show. I'd be in the background going, bye. Have fun. See ya. Good
love
luck
you
on your trip back to the States.
Bring snacks.
Right. Like, yeah, make sure. I would want to see how much I could see them come back. Because, Jill, you're not going anywhere.
No.
Stop packing
your
toys.
Saying, book my flight. No, seriously, book me a flight. Meanwhile, she's been there for the past 2 days.
Right.
Like, she's not going.
And you go, and then they kind of did this thing that bothers me. They started making it like, why do the women gotta leave? And you're like, because of this. Because of how you're reacting right now.
Yeah.
You're like, this is entertaining. Because Jill is literally halfway down the street with her Barbie suitcase packed with her video games. Okay, that's why the women were brought off the beach first. Like, don't act like this is, like, if the guys were taken off the beach to be brought to the hotel, they'd be like, all right, peace, there's an Xbox? Yes! Like, they wouldn't give this moment that we're getting right now. So stop doing this undercurrent of, like, why do we, you know, they're trying, you could see they really wanted to say, like, this, oh, of course, the women have to leave. And you go, come on.
Yes. I mean, it's also my initial thought, no lie, was like, why do the women have to leave? Because my reasoning was, fuck, think about all that packing. I was like, that was the reason why I was like, why did the I was like, they should have the guys leave. They're just going to grab a pair of swim trunks and just dip.
And honestly, they had the advantage. Honestly, this was the women have the advantage because the women go to the hotel. At first, they're like, well, I guess the AC's nice. Like, you can see they're going, they're trying to make, you know, lemonade out of lemons or whatever it is. And they're going, I guess the AC's nice. We're in a hotel. We're not, no crabs. And then they bring in the men. And you go, this is where Jill, Genevieve, maybe Shanae a little bit needed to go. Can we just do, if I were one of them, I would bring a producer to me. I go, give me the camera. I just want to have a full apology.
Like, yes, a come to Jesus moment, like a full,
right,
like,
just, hey, my bad. I got a little ahead of myself. Like, none of them did that. And I know we're getting whatever edit we're given, but not Jill should have looked at the camera. Because the minute the guys show up, they, like, I would have gone, okay, I want to look at these guys, but before I look at their abs, give me a face to face with the camera. Let me say,
that's
hey,
on
I
me.
Got, sorry. My B. I got a little emotional. But like, none of them do. Jill should have been like, I'm sorry, I packed my Barbie suitcase. I didn't mean it. I got a little ahead of myself. Like, I needed that.
No, none of them did it.
None of them. Genevieve was like, ooh, look how hot. Like, they come in, like, and the men look great. They're jacked up. Tyler, it looks like he's just been on steroids for 700 years. Tyler's a different person.
What I need to know.
It's an alleged. I'm not just saying. Tyler was jacked.
Jacked.
Up.
Tyler's jacked.
He wasn't cutesy wootsy Italian mama's boy from Jersey Shore anymore.
Remember, he was the guy in his original photo that looked like he, like, jumped on the screen.
Yes, he looked like he was on a Disney Channel original series. Yeah, he looked boyish. He was a man. He came in.
Man.
That guy was like, I mean, he should be thanking, what season was he on?
Rachel and Gabby.
Rachel and
he
Gabby.
He was the one that took her to the Jersey Shore and she broke up with him during hometowns.
Yeah, exactly. Rachel needs to be thanked, or some trainer made a lot of money off of Tyler because of Rachel
100.
Not walking into that house with him.
Period.
Remember, Rachel didn't even go to the house. The mom
didn't
was like,
go to the house.
So what's going on? I made meatballs. And then he had to be like, she dumped me before we went home. Like,
she's like, what do you mean? It's like, she's not here, mom.
Right. Right. You don't see that with me. You know, it's funny. Like, some women, like, they have a horrible breakup and, like, the next, you know, they come on reality TV the next time and, like, glowed up. Tyler, it felt like he had, like, this was a traumatic breakup and, you know, traumatic using the word in the least traumatic way. And he was like, that was like, all of a sudden you hear just the Rocky music start. And he's like,
and
time
like,
to hit the gym. Right.
Let's go. He looked good. Okay. So I do have one thing that just kind of lingered throughout the entire episode for me was these. First of all, the women thought this too. They actually thought they were going to ship these girls off to a different location and not give them a set of guys. Like, the guys on the beach genuinely think that they're at this hotel, like, getting massages, getting, like, relax. They have no
idea.
Clue. I'm like, I can't put that together.
Well, that's the part where you go, first of all, this is where the apology should come in. Don't, oh, well, the women. No, the women have the advantage. The women, you, if you think of this strategically, these men are acting differently than they would if they fully knew that there were a new group of fresh men at that hotel. Now they're acting with guilt in mind. And you see this with how a lot of them approach. Like, I would say you see this with Aaron. Aaron kind of sees none of the women are really giving him much. And he's like, okay, I got this fallback plan. Yeah. It didn't seem like he even made an attempt towards these new women.
It would be so different. It would be so, so different. Even they even said that to, who was it? Oh, Logan. They were like, right. Logan, man, like Shanae, she was just making out with another guy in front of you trying to choose. Right. They were like, don't feel bad.
Right.
Not knowing that there's another set of guys. They really, they all of them genuinely thought, and I think that's, this is, again, another, like, brilliant producer moment that they were right. like, make the girls go home, have the dramatics.
Well, we're going to get the, then, we're going to get everything we want. Right.
And then raise the stakes on the guys or on the guides them because they don't know. I think you're totally spot on correct because they would be acting 100% different if they knew
this everything that there were guys there. The show is a petri dish. That's what makes me like annoyed at Genevieve, who's like, you're going to bring us off the island. It's like, yeah, Genevieve, you entered the Thunderdome and the dome shall do what the dome does. And the dome ripped you away from Aaron. And then the dome was like, here's some new abs. Here's some new Abby men. And it's like,
yeah,
the ecosystem. And we are just taking, we're dropping in little different variables and we're seeing what happens. If the variables happen in another way, the advantage would change. But right now the men are acting as if the women are off having massages and they're going, I feel badly because I've made a connection and this person's alone in Lonelyville. And it is representative of how you kind of act on the dating apps too, where you're like, you know, I'm on the date with this person, but I've been on two dates with that person. And the person you've been on two dates with, you're like, you think of them in your mind. You're like, they don't go out. They love me. They're not going out
they're
with
not
anyone.
Seeing anyone else.
Right. And then that person that you've been on two dates with is on two dates or four dates with someone else. You have no idea of the other person's situation and how much they like you or how much they, and it's like, you can only, it's like a lesson for life. You can only do you, but I do wonder, you have to do you and your feelings, but it is so interesting because now these women are going, and the women are acting differently than they would because they're going, well, they've got a whole new fresh crop. So they don't know which guy has made moves. Or, and what I guess decision? The only one that would know is, to me,
Serene
and Brandon. Like
Brandon literally came out crying and she was just wearing a dress.
Right, right.
Like, if I were Serene, I'd be like, you bitches have fun. I'll be over here in the hot tub. Also, going back to Aaron a little bit about how, you know, he sort of took a step back and was like, okay, you know what? Let me not do this because clearly none of these girls are interested. But he was sitting there in his interview. He's like, I'm a good dude. I'm being a good dude. Like, I'm solid as a rock. And I'm like, because you didn't act on, like, because you didn't like any of the girl, like, because you're not doing that.
Yeah, it was a little convenient.
Bare minimum. And he's like, I am the best guy in the world. I can't.
Because he considers himself the best guy in the world because here's the thing. Here's the reality. Brandon, you leave the beach. Brandon looks at Serena and is like, we're cool. I'm enjoying you. Like that has been communicated. Yes. That's where you go, Jill is freaking out because she does, I think this is a confidence thing because she's going, I have not been able to communicate with Jacob. Like we're in the gray. We don't know. We're here. You got to see this out. And Lace, as we're going to get to, like Rodney. Lace spent 5 minutes with Rodney. And the Lace-Rodney thing, you go, Rodney just got here. He should be. You were a backup to the woman he wanted to go on a date with originally. He wanted to go on a date with Teddy.
Yeah.
He didn't make that happen. Then doesn't do the date at all. Kind of gets matched up with you because you got to give a rose to somebody.
Yeah.
And Lace knows that. She's not oblivious. She's smart. She's not stupid. So we get, I mean, we're going to get to that in a second.
No, but I agree with you. It's a lot. I just wanted someone to shake these girls, especially Jill, and be like, babe, you are in hysterics over a guy with a man bun wearing a banana leaf. We have to rein it in.
So basically what we have then is the new women are Kate. Kate comes on the island like a divorcee aunt. Kate, the way she talks, Kate is like here to like, and I'm looking at these boys and I don't know who I'm going to be taking home, but this crab is going to be crawling under somebody. Like she talks like she's 80 years old. Like she talks like she is in West Palm Beach sitting with a martini glass at the Breakers, just looking, going, who are these boys going to come home with me and go down on my little pussycat downstairs? Like, doesn't she have that vibe?
She definitely has that vibe. And I think it's the whole like, because she's in her 30s. She's a real estate.
By the way.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, totally. But she's in real estate. So she's like, because she was the one who had the whole like, she was with the Oppenheim group, with the Selling Sunset people from Clayton season. That whole.
I'm a Kate fan. You could tell the producers love Kate because she's now the new narrator. She's the new Casey. Mm-hmm. But the way she talked, and you could tell, she's like, I'm staying on this show. And she saw Jacob, Jacob to me, and I've said this since the beginning, we've talked about this. Jacob to me is a wounded deer. Like this guy is to be taken advantage of. And she sees Jacob, you know, hot abs, whatever. And she's like, let me get this guy wrapped around my finger, which she does very quickly. And there's no better. And then you go back to, you know, Jill. And it's like, Jacob should be thanking God on earth that Kate chose him to be his plaything, to be her plaything. Because Jill is cuddling her crystals in bed. And you go, I can't think of anything I would need more. Like, I can't think of hey, you got, like, if I heard I got in a fight with my significant other and they were at home cuddling crystals, I'd go, that's all I needed to hear. Thank you. I'll end it right away. Like, it's over. Like, she couldn't. I'd be like, no, this person isn't ready for a relationship. They're not living in reality. Like, good to know. Thank you. I'll see you later, Jill. Like, wasn't it like a little much?
It was a lot. and it really like upset me watching Jill's reaction this past episode, and like calling, like every time she referred to the new women, she would call them bitches. Every time.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
Every time she was like, you know, what if he's sitting there and like one of the bitches is on his lap and those bitches came in and these bitches, like, what? Right.
Well, you don't have to do that.
Like, we don't have to do that. And it's like, you could have been a new girl. Like, what if that was you? Would you want people to be saying that about you? And then also, like,
it's her own insecurity.
The own insecurities. And I don't know, is this a small fragment of an example of what dating is like these days? Is that you meet a guy, you hit it off for a few dates, and like, you're so scared of losing that one like tiny good thing that you're going to go into full blown meltdown over it. And
totally agree.
And none of the girls. And honestly, my biggest problem is that they're not even going to socialize with the guys. Like they're just sitting, like the guys are just sitting in the pool and they're like, let's play like chicken fight, like trying to do like games and stuff. You don't have to date any of them. That's fine. No, if you're in a relationship.
Be cool.
Have fun. Like, be chill. Like, they're not even, like, they can't even, like, talk to them. Right. I hate any of that. We can't even socialize. That's, like, middle schooler.
It was very middle schooler. Energy. The way they even talk about, like, oh, our boys. Like, that's such a middle school thing that happens at every middle school across the country. Like, when a group of women go, well, our guys. And you're like, oh, your guys are now having fun with the new, freshly smelling women. Okay,
with
they're
those
not your
girls,
guys.
So.
Yeah, with those, it's very like we're the six and they're the five and we're and our boys come to our house on Saturday. It's like no. This ain't so clean, you know. Like this ain't so cut and dry.
Yeah,
go have fun with these new guys. That's the you're in the show. You're on the show, Bachelor in Paradise. The whole premise is meet a bunch of people, see if you connect, and figure this out. And you're not even doing that.
Jill didn't even is not even leaving the room. It's like what if you do have a connection with one. You're not even going to give them
crystals.
A chance.
Right.
It really doesn't make sense. Sure, Jill, if you don't want to date any of them because you're stuck on Jacob, that is fine also. But at least like be chill and go right. out, hang out with the guys and make the most of the gorgeous hotel room you're even in. Even Victoria was like a little like, I don't know.
No,
I don't want to really want to.
That's why Victoria came off so cool. Off the backdrop of Jill, Victoria, even when they brought the new guys up, Victoria goes, ooh, new playthings. I was like, that's
yes.
fun. That's what this show is. And mm-hmm. Victoria didn't hit it off with them. Fine.
That's fine.
But you, again, yeah, you're right. Because it's funny. Like, Victoria wasn't chicken fighting with the guys either. But we think of her differently than Jill because at least Victoria isn't crying in a corner, you know, rubbing a crystal on her face. You know,
and I like the way that Victoria handled the other women, like her and Serene, but especially Victoria, you know, how that she was comforting them and being like, being very
right.
much like mother hen, like everything's going to be fine, holding herself together.
And Victoria's situation isn't solid herself.
Yeah.
You know, she's, you know, her and Johnny, you're not thinking of them as the top couple. You know, you're not thinking of like, you know, Victoria has her own issues, you know,
yeah.
the guy that she's figuring out. But you can tell it's a different form of how am I figuring this out?
Way different.
Jill does it in if he likes me, I like him because she goes, mm-hmm. I want to be chosen. I want someone to like me. I want someone to pick me. And then Victoria is doing the, well, I'm making sure I think I like, let me see how I feel about this guy after I meet these new guys. She's doing it in yeah. the, you know, the vision's different. It's different perspectives. So, I mean, we'll quickly go through. I mean, Shanae, to her credit, does do the show. You know, Shanae.
She's nailing it. Shanae is hitting all the points. She's
like, I'll do it.
Doing the love triangle, picking right. between the two of them, going off to the other house, going on a date with a guy. Hitting it off, trying to go to the boom boom room.
Right. Shanae is willing to fall on her face.
Yeah.
And that you kind of have to do that. Like,
and
so
I like it.
I like it too. I you know, Shanae, even though she's like the perfect person to come on this show and create the show we want to see, like I think that comes from maybe places that you go, maybe not the best of places. Cause she's like, she sees Tyler, she's like, I want to fuck Tyler.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm good. Like, you know, and so what? So here are the small moments. We'll go through these a little bit quicker, but it's so Shanae goes after Tyler, brings him on their tantric yoga date. And Tyler had already kind of said to Brittany that he wants to see what's going on with her. So
yeah.
we're set up with Tyler and Brittany having connected. Shanae asks Tyler on a date. He says yes. They go on the tantric yoga date. They come back. And Shanae's like, I'm bringing Tyler to the boom boom room. And Jill shows up and ruins it. And it's like,
leave it to Jill.
It is funny that like Jill represents a certain person that we all know. Yeah. Where if I have a dating problem, we all got a dating problem.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's like, I'm always surprised that like there's always someone that's a fan of someone. Like, the Jared and Ashley I thing I thought was garbage.
I hated that so much. I'm glad I didn't have to talk to you about that because that was just like...
I went off. I couldn't...
What
I couldn't. I was enraged.
Fuck?
But I will say, there were people that were like, I like the Jared. You only get it if you have kids. No, I don't believe that.
Do you have to go on national TV right? to talk about how all you do is fart in bed and don't have sex? And-
right. And all it does is make the person living the worst version of this fake of that life feel better, feel like they
yes.
they have they're right in a certain way. And there's someone watching Jill going, so me.
That's
like,
me.
Oh.
And it's like,
oh, good. It gives you permission. to act horribly. Like Jill, Shanae's like, get the fuck out of here. I want to fucking bone this dude.
Yeah.
And you go, and someone is watching Jill do the come in holding, you know, her Barbie suitcase and crystals again and going, oh, that's me of the group. And you're like, yeah, you need to stop doing that.
Yeah, we hate it.
Hate it. So during this, Sarah takes Logan on a date. So we kind of see the side by side of Sarah, who I forgot, another, just like Rick.
I forgot Sarah too until later. I was like, oh.
Sarah was the one that went on a date with Clayton, and Clayton kind of like kind of said she was there for the wrong reasons.
She was fighting with God. Who was it? It was somebody where there was like, it was like girls, like, or maybe it was like all the girls against her.
Yeah. All the girls didn't like her, but it was also like very not said. It wasn't, it was vague.
It was unlike spoken, or it wasn't real information, like actual tangible information. And Clayton finds out and was like, she had all the fake crying.
The fake
crying. All of her crying was like really animated. And she was very young. There were no tears. Yes.
She was very young. But then she goes on this date and you go, and you go, some people are just good at this. Like Sarah just seems like she's might be just good. And then she goes on this date with Logan, and Logan, who is prime candidate to just be like, I guess I'm going along with this ride too.
Oh,
like him and Shanae are almost made for each other.
Easily manipulated guy. Oh my God. He's just like, girls, titties, all right.
Beach, blanket, you like me? Good. Yeah.
Yeah, we go swimming in the water at night. Right. It's pretty warm.
So they go on a date. Then Jesenia, who annoyed me last Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. She comes on. Jesenia almost treats love as this business meeting, it seems like. She's very just business-like.
She's like, we're in this, and it's a financial decision to get to date, and I'm going to court you. She's like, I'm setting up this. She's not taking no for an answer with
Andrew. This is the thing. She kind of approaches Andrew earlier in the episode. Andrew gives her nothing.
Awkward.
A little awkward. And then you would think Jesenia would go, all right, I'm turned off by that.
Would be out so quick.
Right. Jesenia, business meeting, gotta close the deal, Jesenia, then sets up a pizza date. And Andrew, I think Andrew, now I'm starting to like get to know this guy a little bit. He is like, he has very boyish wonderment. Like, and he, because Jesenia, like, basically, like, proposes herself as, you know, as someone he should pursue. And I don't even believe it. And it was so funny because she goes, and I like video games. And he's like, video games? Cowabunga! Like, it was such a.
Yeah.
His reaction, oh my God, you play video games? Like, it felt like she knew that, like, and video games, if you come like, with me.
Here comes the airplane.
Right, I got Xbox. I know how to use the new controllers. It was very, like, I just didn't, listen, not that I don't buy their female gamers. I know this is, like, kind of a sore spot as far as the world of, like.
I have a Nintendo Switch.
There you go.
All I do is play Pokemon. But
that's okay. But this is like an angry man internet incel world. There's this like blowback to female gamers that's like not very cool and awful. And I don't mean, I just didn't watch Jesenia and go see her with the headset on at some dude, you know, some teenager about, you know, Call of Duty. Like, I don't know. The way it was presented was just so like, and with me, like it felt like a PowerPoint. And with me, you could have video games, pizza. Oh. Like, and then Andrew was like the perfect candidate. He's like, pizza, video game. I can stay up as late as I want. You know, like it was just very that energy.
You're spot on with that. I mean, just like his smile, like I can hear him saying all those exact things.
Right. It was so interesting because you're like, Jesenia's like, nope. That's the guy. I don't care how awkward that interaction was. I'm gonna
make this work.
I'm gonna make it work. We're gonna close this deal. So then we end the episode with Rodney going on a date with Eliza.
Yeah.
And it was, you see it like right away. Like Eliza's like, they're talking about family. They're talking about trips they're going to go on.
They're like love bombing each other, like right. Straight into it.
Right. And we didn't like the, and then we keep going back to Lace at the hotel. And there's not one moment of Lace and Rodney that I remember that even reflects the Lace or the Eliza and Rodney date.
No.
Right?
I don't remember anything. I just sent you a text of this meme that I saw, and the way that Rodney looks like this Ninja Turtle,
I mean,
spot on, is sending me to the fucking moon.
That's wild.
We'll post it on the story later, but
Rodney, I mean, I felt for Lace because Lace is older for this show. I don't think she's old in any way. She's older on this show. She's been on how many times? I think she was on the show when Wells was on the show. And Lace is like, the way Lace talked about, I wrote something down. It felt like Lace just wanted to be liked.
Yeah, she just wanted attention. Like, sometimes I don't even like need a boyfriend. I just want somebody to like give me attention.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think there's a difference. And I think that's kind of what she just needs right now, is somebody giving her attention. And I think she got that from Rodney for a little bit, mm-hmm. and was like, okay, this is solid. I feel good about this, even though that's not necessarily what it was. And I think she knew leaving that that's all it was. And then guys are very much, Jill was right, correct me if I'm wrong, but very much out of sight, out of mind. You have this new,
especially
shiny,
when it's new.
Yeah. And they smell fresh.
they smell like the Lancome booth at the Nordstrom's.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in. Yeah, I felt for Lace because it was just you could tell it wasn't Rodney. This wasn't about Rodney. This was about Lace feeling a little lonely because she's like, I got one. She's like, I got one. And then she doesn't give the new guys the time of day. She doesn't even try with the new guys. And then she gets herself dolled up and she's like, I'm walking back. I don't know how, I don't know how close the beach is to this hotel.
Right.
So she goes to the beach and she is confronted by the men who are like, uh-oh. The men, when they confronted Lace, it was I was laughing so fucking hard because the men are ill-equipped for the levels of just emotional things that Lace is bringing to this table. They're like, uh-oh, woman coming. And she's like, and they keep asking her questions. And then Rodney's coming down holding hands with Eliza. And you go, ay. And you feel for Rodney. I feel for the men because and Lace literally looks at the other men and goes, does he miss me? And they're like,
And they're like, they don't know how to answer. First of all, they have no clue. The only one that was like ready was Aaron. He could not wait to be like, Rodney's on a date. I mean, immediately, like, Rodney's on his head like pops over. Rodney's on a date.
Right.
And all the other guys are like, I don't think he should be worried. Like, I mean, he probably like fumbling. And Aaron's like,
right.
Rodney's on a date. So. Aaron is so drama.
He must not like Lace or just never got along with her. If you have a relationship with this person in any way, you go.
I just think he knows that it's going to be drama and he wants to like full send it. I think that's what, I think Aaron knows exactly what he's doing. He has no like ill will for anybody, but he's like drama.
Right. It is funny that like she kind of in a way brings over information that they kind of need too. Cause at some point Lay's going to go, oh, we got guys over there. That's going to come up.
They're going to know.
So that's how we end the episode with Lace basically confronting Rodney, who just had the most wonderful date of his life. So
love bombing.
Right.
Love
Let's get real with the most dramatic moment of the week, brought to you by Rumhaven. Rumhaven is made with real coconut water and no artificial flavors or preservatives. It's also easy to mix and puts a tropical twist on your favorite cocktails. It can be enjoyed simply straight over ice or with a splash of club soda or your favorite juice. So let's see what made the splash this week. What was your most dramatic moment of the week, Kay?
I think the most dramatic moment of the week was, I mean, I think we can both agree, like,
right.
Finding out of the split. I mean, watching the girls leave the beach in a full, like, meltdown hysteria.
Right.
And the new girls walking in.
I kind of want to have that in my own life. I want to date someone for, like, a year. Have someone come over to me and go, hey, we're going to have to separate you. See how she reacts. and then if it's good and reasonable, I'll go, okay, bring her back. We're good now. And if it's Jill, I'll go, hey, our time is up.
We got to talk.
if we get split up and she starts hugging crystals, I'll go, good to know. Thank you.
That's all I needed.
The split is definitely the most dramatic moment of the week. I think definitely I'm with you, the way it was done, they did it perfect.
Perfectly.
Just nailed the landing. Just great on all fronts. So much to talk about. So much juice there. Loved it. So that's it for the most dramatic moment of the week. Brought to you by Rumhaven. I love Rumhaven. Have you had it, Kay?
I have had Rumhaven. I have actually a bottle of it on my bar.
It is delicious. It is such like a cool game changer for a get together. Especially
yes.
It's getting cold and maybe you want to have like a theme night to watch Bachelor in Paradise. Feel like you're at the beach. It puts you at the mental beach, I would say.
It gives you that tropical type vibe. So when you're watching, because I mean, wine's great and all, but when you have that drink that matches what you're watching,
absolutely.
It's a 10 out of 10.
You can find out where to pick up a bottle of Rumhaven for yourself by visiting rumhaven.com. That's rumhaven.com. So who do you have as the IG rising star, Kay?
I put Eliza. I think we, you know, we didn't see her for a while, kind of like forgot about her. Didn't really make an impression last the season she was on. But like, I think her and Rodney are going to really hit it off. I think she's going to be somebody we see for a while.
I agree on Eliza. I had Jill, and it's for like the worst reasons. Like Jill, I would say whoever's like watches Jill on TV and then is like, gotta follow her. That's so me. Like I would not. I
don't
can't imagine
me, though.
Right. Like those people in a room. I can't imagine a room of people who I just want to watch them interact, get, you know, just start screaming at each other, love each other, mm-hmm. hate each other. So I think it's Jill because when you're on camera for any reason, you find your audience. And
yes.
If you and your audience, you cultivate an audience, if you put yourself out there publicly, that reflects you. So I do
That's
think
so
Jill's,
true.
Right? Like I meet people who love this show. And I genuinely enjoy the conversations we have after shows or like when I see them, you know, out in, you know, the streets in New York when they approach me because they're reasonable Bachelor fans who like
yes.
the talk and the gray of it and getting into the weeds of it. And I enjoy them. Jill has to deal with an audience of people who are like, at all times. So.
Yeah. Just like one cocktail away from crying.
Right. Villain of the week, who'd you have, Kay?
I had the OG girls. I just feel like all of their energy, it really turned me off seeing them at that gorgeous hotel surrounded by good-looking dudes and not taking advantage of it, whether it's dating or just like having a good time.
Right.
It really turned me off.
I'm with you. I had the elements. Was my villain of the week. The elements, because what they do to you on a beach, that listen, salt in your hair, sweat on your skin.
You're
can't
not getting
beat,
that off.
You're not. And when someone walks in that hasn't been hit with the elements, the way we saw it, these women and men walk in, it's just a different look, a different glow. The elements were real villain this week to me. Cringe Harrison Award.
Jill.
Jill, I'm with you.
I really by the shoulders, just shake her. And like,
right.
Shut up.
The minute you start hugging a crystal, you go, all right, I gotta go. It's, and that's like the equivalent of like when you go to a party, you get a little too drunk, and then you see your face in the mirror, you go, I gotta go home.
It's time.
It's time. Yeah. It's
when
time.
You're unable to see your face in the mirror and you're like, how did we get here?
You spill, or like you're at a party, you spill a drink and you're like, that was me. I'm too drunk. I'm out of here. Order the Uber. Will you accept this rose? Who won the week?
I really enjoy Victoria F. I think she's kind of just showed this great side of her that we didn't get to see on Peter's season. And I loved watching her like take care of the other girls and like be reasonable, like being strong because none of the other ones were. I really liked Victoria. I think she's, I would want to be friends with her.
I'm with you on Victoria. I'll also give my Rose of the Week since, you know, I'll jump on your Victoria one. I think you're totally correct. I thought she won this week. I think the producers, they nailed.
Yes.
They nailed. And I don't think, listen, the producers have their faults. I think the Michael A. thing we could do without, like, but the way they structured the split, nailed it. Just crushed
it.
Was so
good. So. I honestly did not think about when you mentioned the girls, the reason why the girls were leaving first because of their reaction. I truly did not think about that because I had the same question.
Right.
Why are they leaving? Make the guys leave all that packing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then he said, no, but think about the react. Like, that's why they were leaving. I'm like, brilliant. It's true.
It was exactly what we wanted from this, the surprise of it. I don't think you'd get it on other seasons because now people are prepared for it. So this is, they had one shot at this and they crushed it. So
10 out of 10.
Yeah. We'll speak on next week. Was there any preview from next week that made you light up a little bit?
Also, the reason why I chose Victoria F. as for getting this rose this week is because the preview for next week and seeing that she is going on a date and like sort of connected with someone. I'm like, yes, I wanted you to do this. Like, Johnny's great and all, like you guys seem to have it, but experience paradise for what it is. And I really got excited about seeing Victoria handle that situation.
Yeah. And that's kind of why we didn't get Victoria and Johnny a lot. They didn't really like as a couple, but then the preview makes you think like, oh, they're both figuring this out in a way that is the fun way to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see what comes with this split next week and seeing if anybody makes a new connection. And I also want to know how they come back to the beach because on Love Island, what they do is the girls that were sent away, if they make a connection, they have like all the guys are sitting and lining up and they walk down like a staircase and they're either walking down alone because they did not meet anybody or they're walking down hand in hand with the person that they chose.
On Love Island, you have to decide before you come back to each other.
Before you come back.
I hope to God that's the case. And especially now that...
so good.
And I guess maybe that's why if that's why they let Lace go to the beach to kind of deliver the news that we have guys too. So now it's a little bit more even as far as the playing field is concerned. Then that's genius because she delivers the message. Oh, we have new guys too. The guys, we're going to get the reaction shot of the guys. We're like, they got guys, you know, like they're not getting massages, you know, like, so that would be fun. I hope that happens. But I'm with you. I hope that's the way it goes, but we're going to see, we're going to find out. This was great.
All right. So we will be back next week, next Wednesday after both Bachelor in Paradise episodes. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. You can follow me at K York City.
And I'm at Jared Free.
See you next week.
The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.